Bradaloni's Hardware and Garden Stores brings you Garage Logic Podcast number 1241, Feb 8, 2024. 50 degrees on this day on two occasions, 1991 and 2002. That could get eclipsed today. And it was 29 below on this day in 1899.
Hail the flashlight, King!
Hail you!
And now, from the mayor's office above the boathouse on the east shore of Spoon Lake, it's Garage Logic with Chris Reavers manning Technology Corner, Kenny Olson from the Krabby Coffee Shop, John Hite in the newsroom, and of course, the rookie. Here is your flashlight king, fireworks commissioner, and the keeper of common sense, your mayor, Joe Soucheray.
You know, if I was a politician, and I am, of course, I'm a mayor of Garage Logic. If I was a politician, I would never hold a public event or press situation where I preordained the questions. I would never do that. Mm. I would enjoy the byplay. I would enjoy spontaneity. I would enjoy the realness of it.
Well,
it turns out walls... honest to God. Mike writes, I got a buddy who works at CHS, and he informed me Walls will be visiting today. That was Tuesday. For an open Q&A. Below is what he received, and he made sure to highlight, the buddy got this because he works at CHS. And he made sure to highlight one important caveat to the so-called Q&A session. While I'm sure this is typical to avoid any bad press, I found it fitting that the questions would be selected in advance. Lord knows that any surprise questions could turn this thing into a debate, which we know the governor has little to no experience with. My friend is no fan of Walls and also mentioned that he was told to attend but never received the Q&A submission form. No surprise there either, as I'm sure the softball questions were already determined. If he has any useful feedback from the visit, I'll let you know. And what the employees of CHS received, I have it below, a very smiling Governor Walls. We have the note from CHS to its people. We are pleased to welcome Minnesota Governor Tim Walls to IGH Tuesday. An open Q&A session will be held from 10 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. Boy, that's a long time, huh?
Yeah,
in the auditorium. All employees are invited to attend this event in person or virtually on MS Teams. Due to time limitations, all questions will be submitted prior to the session.
See you.
Boo hiss is what I would say. Boo hiss.
Yeah. Well, you certainly remember Farm Fest a few years ago, right?
Yeah, I do. And he really couldn't handle it, could he?
He tucked his tail and he ran out of there. Oh, my Lord.
And if the questions were predetermined, I think it logically follows that they were then carefully selected to be asked of him.
Right. They took the cream of the crop.
Yeah.
The easiest question.
What do you think of Tuesdays? Oh, I like Tuesday.
Can't feel that.
And I got news that the Minnesota Department of Health has a new hire. The Minnesota Department of Health is pleased to welcome Devana Rucker as the director of the new Office of African American Health. Hmm. Her first day on the job was yesterday. Is African American health different than other health, I wonder? Is there a director of Hispanic health and Hmong health and Pacific Outer Island health? Please join me in extending a warm welcome to Devana as she undertakes this crucial role within the Office of African American Health, said MDH Assistant Commissioner Dr. Helkino Tura. I am confident that her expertise and passion will significantly contribute to our ongoing efforts to promote health equity. The Office of African American Health was established just this past legislative session. The office is dedicated to addressing the root causes of health inequities that disproportionately impact Minnesota's African-American communities. All right. With nearly a decade of dedicated experience in the equity space.
Oh,
Jesus. Rucker brings a wealth of expertise in leadership, program development, partnership management, and program analytics and evaluation. Known for advancing equity frameworks across organizations, boy, they can grind out the BS, can't they?
Yeah, they can.
Rucker excels in community partnerships, complex problem solving, empowerment leadership, program development, and evaluation and collective impact. Most recently, Rucker served at YWCA where she in Minneapolis, where she worked. She worked tirelessly.
Can I just give it a big? It did say empowerment.
To eliminate racism and empower women, over the last 4 years, her focus has been on promoting the mental and social-emotional well-being of juvenile justice-involved youth. Well, that's a good thing. Rucker is recognized as a visionary and a builder. Okay. She holds a bachelor's degree in family and consumer science, a master's degree in psychology and leadership, and currently pursuing a doctorate in human services. Outside of work, Rucker, I wonder if we're going to get skincare here. Outside of work, Rucker is a devoted family person. She and her partner share two beautiful children and a puppy. In her free time, Rucker enjoys playing card and board games with her family, participating in physical and competitive activities, and indulging in all forms of art, including movies, music, theater, and dance. Well, great. Welcome aboard, lady. I hope you do a great job.
I owe you an apology, Joe.
Uh-huh.
I automatically assumed, well, I assumed that you were wrong and I was going to tear into you because I think there are some things that black people worry about. Diabetes, as they like to say.
Diabetes, like Wilford Brimley.
High blood pressure, heart attacks, strokes, lung cancer, et cetera, et cetera. But then I read the press release and see that those things aren't covered at all. And she probably doesn't know anything about actual health and beating hearts and breathing.
Well, I was anticipating that maybe they hired a doctor.
Right. Well, I mean, that's exactly it. Yeah.
But apparently not.
Yeah. And I just immediately assumed, well, Joe's wrong about this, and we're going to find out the truth.
And many of the health problems that plague the black community can plague anyone who smokes or eats poorly or doesn't exercise or whatever.
Hi,
I don't think this is a mystery.
Hi, I'm Kenny.
I know. I tried not even to look at you while I did that. We have the case. I don't think it's necessarily unrelated to the likes of people getting hired. And again, good luck to the woman. The mayor of Dalton, Illinois, is receiving quite a bit of press. In fact, all over the globe. Once you're in the Daily Mail, you're everywhere. I got it from a different source. I'm getting this from Fox 32 Chicago.
Okay.
Dalton, Illinois, is a village immediately south of Chicago, virtually on the city limit. So it's it's a suburb, basically. Population of 21,000 people. And the mayor is a woman named Tiffany Henyard. And she's under fire for the way she spends money. But she's come up with a strategy to discourage people from running against her. Because she said, you're just mad that a black woman has power. Well, she's proposing a 90% cut in her position's salary, but only if she's not filling it. That's the scam this woman has come up with to address her critics. Okay, you think she's making $225,000 a year as the mayor of nothing. And her solution to this is, okay, I propose a 90% cut in my salary so long as it's not me. So you go ahead and run, Mr. Smith, but you're going to make $12.
Yeah.
I'm getting reelected. I'm making my $225. It's just the latest controversy surrounding Henyard, who serves as both Thornton Township supervisor and the mayor of Dalton. Thornton Township trustee Chris Gonzalez was just sitting down at the start of the township's board meeting 2 weeks ago when he was handed a 7-page proposed ordinance requiring an immediate vote. Gonzalez said he had no time to read the proposed ordinance. Well, because 7 pages might have taxed him. That might have taken too long. And then we get to the meeting pretty quick, he said, so I didn't have time to read it. And leading that meeting was Supervisor Henyard, who was appointed to the position last year after the death of longtime Supervisor Frank Zuccarelli. Henyard is charismatic, often bringing a DJ to board meetings to help her make a point. God help us. But she's also controversial, spending tens of thousands of taxpayer dollars to promote herself on billboards and purchasing first-class tickets for out-of-town trips. She also uses public employees and vehicles to promote her personal charity and taken Dalton police officers off the street to create a personal security detail that's resulted in thousands of hours of overtime.
Wow.
But back to the ordinance, which passed without Gonzalez's support. They're like, I can't believe it. How can someone do that, said Gonzalez. What the ordinance does is ensure that Henyard continues to receive her $224,000 a year salary as township supervisor. But if a non-incumbent becomes supervisor, in other words, if someone challenges Henyard and beats her, the salary for that position drops to $25,000 a year. Trustee Gonzalez said it's a political poison pill to scare off competition. Really? You came to that conclusion, huh? It discourages people from running is the first thing that comes to mind, he said. Well, it was the first thing that came to my mind, too. But perhaps the bigger question is this legal? No, it's illegal. It violates so many tenets of law, said municipal attorney Bert Odelson, who represents Henyard's political opposition in Dalton. Odelson said, under the concept of equal protection of the law, the salaries of elected officials have to be identity blind, which means they don't change based on the person holding the job. This may be the worst attempt to try to dissuade people from running that I've ever seen, and that's been a long time, said Odelson. Henyard isn't facing re-election at the township until next year. But already potential competitors are circling despite the drastically lower salary, including Illinois State Senator Napoleon Harris. But if Henyard is reelected, she'll continue making the $224,000, even if she seems to believe the job is worth a fraction of that. And then, as I say, I've also read that her response to people is, you're just angry at me because I'm a black woman with power. No, I would be angry with you, lady, if I lived in Dalton because you sound just as corrupt as hell.
You know who she said that to?
Hmm.
Black people.
Really?
They've been trying to get rid of her since 2021. They really? Actually voted to recall her, and she somehow got the court to shut it down on legalities. So they had actually voted her out, but the vote could not be certified.
You know what she is? She's a cur, a dreadful cur.
Cur.
Lady, take a hike. Go away.
You are all black. The besieged Democratic mayor scolds black critics for attacking a black woman.
Yeah.
Oh, God forbid they attack somebody who's corrupt. Who cares what color you are? My
but that,
goodness.
See, that's missing now. That's gone. In the country.
Yeah.
Well, we went from, you know, the age when a black woman could not have been the mayor of Dalton.
Right.
And then we skipped a whole bunch of the middle ground. And now we're at the point where the black mayor of Dalton has the audacity to challenge even her black constituents as being too critical of her because she's black. So I don't know how you fix that. I have no idea. She's very pompous and haughty. I've seen videos of her. She's just an amazing caricature who doesn't leave the house in the morning without quite a bit of work to her hair and her mug and the whole deal, you know. So.
But in some cases, it's just fine. Like, for instance, our gal, Latricia.
Oh, man, may I bring her up?
She's pretty awesome, compared to the rest of them, anyway.
Latricia Vita is a city councilwoman in Minneapolis. And I feel very comfortable saying the only one with a head on her shoulders. And she's calling these homeless camps out for what they are. There's nothing. Have you seen the signs, by the way, that the so-called residents of these camps put up on the fence around
yes.
there? You know, colonizers caused homelessness.
Mm-hmm. No, they didn't.
Well, all it would have to be done is take the author of that sign out onto the sidewalk and just point in every direction and say, but all these peoples are living in homes. How could that be if colonizers have forbidden that?
Well, colonizers caused everything, globally speaking, since the beginning of time.
That's how it works. It's the mystery's newest buzzword.
But that's how it works.
Right,
I mean, that's...
And they were white colonizers.
Well, that makes it twice as bad.
They were patriarchal.
Yeah.
And even laws were their affectations. Just keep power.
Yeah.
So go ahead and run that red light. Who gives a damn? So we now learn that the city council in Minneapolis, and I'm sure every country the closest you get to the tallest buildings is going through this, because I said country. Every city you get closest to the country's tallest buildings that happens to be led by Mysterians is really suffering. San Francisco, Portland, Seattle, Minneapolis, St. Paul, San Francisco, Chicago, New York. Where the Mysterians are in control, these cities are that once were just a hell of a place are no longer a hell of a place. And in Minneapolis now, the Mysterian City Council is introducing separate ordinances that would essentially codify and regulate homeless encampments. Two of the three council members said part of their plan includes issuing conditional use permits for the encampments. And along comes Latricia Vita that says she doesn't support what she's calling the legalization of encampments and prefers a treatment-based solution. Because what she discovers when she goes into the camps is that it's purely people with addiction issues. It's a bad addiction issue, she said. When I went into the camp myself, all I saw was addiction. People were sick and ill because of addiction. And we give these camps their native names and actually pretend they're meaningful. It's all BS. These are some very ill people that need tremendous help. And legalizing the encampments doesn't get to the bottom of that, as Latricia points out. I think, who did she talk to? I think she had a hell of a talk with Jay Coles.
Yes, you're correct.
Yeah. Robert Lilligren, a leader with Metropolitan Urban Indian Directors, told Vita in an email, your comments are aligned with Metropolitan Urban Indian Directors' leadership and the majority of the Native community. The encampments are not healthy. They're not healing. We believe there is a better way. Vita also shared a message she received from a nurse at a local hospital who treated people from the camp Nenusaki encampment, and that's an embarrassment. I don't know what Nenusaki means. Obviously, it has some Native American heritage reference, but it gives it the panache of being something almost charming. There's nothing charming about this.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd want that. If it was, you know, my heritage, I don't think I'd want it dragged down to that level.
And because it's Vita, who I've met and I know, I believe she's telling the truth when she says, I want to share with you a message I received from a nurse at a local hospital who wrote Vita and said, it's basically a drug zone. And what people don't know is it's filled with child traffickers. I just took care of a 12-year-old that was being trafficked with three different STDs and tested positive for meth, fentanyl, heroin, the works. She was 12.
Oh, my Lord. Wow.
A housing specialist who assisted people in the camp to find permanent housing also wrote in an email in part, "You," meaning Vita, "are absolutely correct. This is not a place of healing. It is a place of death and entrapment. Everything you witnessed on the day you went into the encampment is something I live with on a daily or on a weekday basis. In fact, I'm the one who found the dead baby in the duffel bag."
Oh, man.
On January 30, Minneapolis Community Safety Commissioner Todd Barnett, he's the new fellow on that job, said there was a reported death of a newborn at the encampment and one overdose death, along with a fatal shooting and a stomach virus outbreak. A spokesperson for the encampment issued the following statement. "Although we are voices from Camp Nenukasi, these ordinances are about the entire unsheltered population. Not everyone is going to agree, and we expect and welcome different perspectives. The Native community is not a monolith, but what we are firm in understanding is that despite our differences, we all need to come together on this issue. It's about our greater community. This impacts all of us. What the city has been doing for 5 years is not working. We're thankful for courageous council members who are taking a lead addressing a complex issue with creative solutions that work towards repair and not compounding harm and generational trauma. It's time to prioritize healing," Camp Nenukasi spokesperson. That could mean anything. I don't know what the spokesperson from the camp intends us to understand by that. Are they approving of these newly proposed ordinances which would legalize the camp? Are they siding with Latricia Vita, who says these camps are ridiculous, they must be ended, these people need help? I don't know what that spokesperson wants me to believe with this written statement, because I'm going with Latricia Vita. This is a horrendous, unhealthy, deadly entrapment that has nothing to do with camping.
What do you think the motives are then to legitimize these camps?
Because that would be the natural reaction of Mysterians who don't have it in them to speak as candidly as Latricia Vita does. The response of the Mysterian is, "These are oppressed people. We've oppressed them, and we must grant them special legislation to legalize these encampments."
Do you think it ends there? There's no darker motive behind any of this?
No, I think where it ends is more and more people dying. And then the city will, I don't know what the city will do.
What do you make, I don't think I've ever talked to you about this, what do you make of the term unsheltered versus homeless?
It's just a more charitable euphemism. It's attempting to make mainstream the fact that somebody's homeless. They're not homeless. They're unsheltered. It's BS. They're homeless, and they're not homeless because they got fired from a job. They're homeless because they're addicted.
But then there are the legitimate, what I would call unsheltered these days, or homeless, you know, last year, whenever this term came in, who are just that, Joe. They lost a job, rent went up, something happened, and now they're sleeping in their minivan next to a park somewhere.
But crucially, they're not in that camp.
And they're not in that camp, and they're not addicted to drugs, and they're doing everything they can to get back into a home.
Exactly. I would be willing to call them unsheltered.
And I think people like that are where our resources should go first.
Yeah. I do, too.
To get those people put back on track again, help them out.
Yep. I'm making a note to myself.
I'm making a note to yourself, too.
It's a dreadful, dreadful situation.
Look at the time.
I know.
Okay.
Holy mackerel.
Well, you're long-winded today. Didn't know you were going to be this good, sir.
I don't think I'm long-winded. It's time.
You're a little windy.
Do you think they have this problem in Sioux Falls?
No.
I mean, there are a lot of businesses thinking about going to Sioux Falls. Maybe there are even more after Mayor Fry's statements yesterday. We'll get to that in a moment. Well, a lot of factors, a lot of people, a lot of factors influence a decision to relocate. But Sioux Falls puts the word out. It's a lovely, lovely place, and They want you to consider the future and maybe your expansion or relocation. Short commutes, safe streets, quality of life excellence. Who's going to argue with this? Productive people, affordable land, reduced red tape, fewer taxes, higher profits. I got to think people are thinking seriously about this. And 2024 could be the time to make your move to Sioux Falls. Fewer taxes, less business regulation, and higher profits are pretty good enticements. But you check it out for yourself and make your own decision. There's plenty of reading to be done, and you can find virtually everything you need at SiouxFallsDevelopment.com. That's one word, SiouxFallsDevelopment.com. And they even have an orchestra with which Jeff Dayton played once when Glenn Campbell did a big concert there.
Nice.
Yeah, so they got all the, you know, they get the arts.
Yeah, the perks.
The eats.
Yes.
The whole deal. SiouxFallsDevelopment.com.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. If you run an e-commerce business, you know how much work it takes to produce something great while dealing with complicated shipping issues. That's why over 130,000 companies have turned to ShipStation, an innovative tool that allows you to focus less on shipping and more on building your brand. With ShipStation, you can manage orders, label printing, reporting, and customer service on one easy-to-use dashboard. You'll reduce warehouse costs with reliable enterprise solutions and save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off. Plus, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online. So, turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth. Go to ShipStation.com and use code POD to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, code POD.
Here's a man who spends hours in hardware stores sifting through the nuts and bolts of life, Joe Souchere.
Scoony on the phone. It's Positive Thursday. That's why he's here. Brought to us by Schoonover Body Works and Auto Care. They're up there in leafy, lovable Shoreview, 1060 County E. Just really cool. You can actually see them from Lexington, just east of Lexington. Anything you need related to that ride can be had at Schoonover's. Hiya, Mike. How you doing?
Hey, Kenny. Hey, fellas. How are we doing today?
Hi, Scoony. Hey,
Joe's the same. He's grumpy.
No,
making us all feel bad.
I'm not at all. I'm the one going to the golf show tomorrow. You're not.
Something came up, something personal. Mike, I want you to help settle something here. I'm going to create a scenario, and we're going to call in you, the expert. Here's the scenario. Me and Matthew and Joe are in the studio. We're alone right there, just the three of us. I have a heart attack and flop down onto the floor. One of you needs to start CPR. One of you needs to go find out where and then retrieve, if you possibly can, the automated external defibrillator that we have in the building. The first question for the two of you is, where is that located?
Joe?
In human resources.
Okay, so far Kenny's well on his way to dying. Matthew?
Man.
There's one located in the hallway.
Which hallway?
I
could have said hallway.
It's down by the lunchroom.
Okay. One of you is going to have to go.
He's dead by the time you get back with that.
One of you is going to have to go out in search of that. While you're running to get it, you're going to have to call 911. And I'm going to assume that's going to be Joe.
Because
Matthew, I'm going to put my life in your hands, and you're going to have to start CPR. What do you do? CPR.
ABC. You open the airway, you check for breathing, and then you do chest compressions to staying alive.
This is where we call in the expert. Mike Schoonover, am I alive or am I dead?
Well, hang on a sec, Kenny. Let's use that expert term loosely. I am not a medical professional.
Right. Okay.
But let's clear one thing up first. A heart attack is not the same as sudden cardiac arrest. The way that you can tell the difference is a heart attack is the person's awake, they feel funny, they feel tightness in their chest.
Don't do this. I'm going to have all these symptoms now.
We need to discuss this. This is important.
However, sudden cardiac arrest is when they're not talking. They may or may not be breathing. They may be breathing funny. They may be foaming at the mouth or have, you know, some froth at the mouth. And they might be kind of in a convulsive, not an aggressive convulsive, but kind of like flopping like a fish almost. I don't want to be disrespectful, but yeah, you'll know, yeah. know the difference. But you can, when somebody's having a heart attack, you can talk to them. And heart attack can lead to sudden cardiac arrest. So know the difference. But I'm glad you did that because I think that's a good rule for everybody to understand of where do you work, where do you teach, where do you play, where are you, and where's the AED when you need it? Because you're right, you would be if somebody's running around the halls trying to find the AED, or worse yet, it's locked up in somebody's office. Then it's not doing anybody any good. But
I've seen it hundreds of times, but I can't picture where it is. I know we have them.
So I'm talking to Mike, I don't know when it was, and we were talking about this subject, and Mike said something that I have never considered, like Wild Bill Hickok. Instead of looking for an exit when Mike walks into a new place, he looks for and tries to find the AID or the AED, excuse me. And I really thought that was interesting and pretty cool, actually.
Yeah, because you're especially these days, you know, 911, you call 911, help might be 10 or 15 minutes away or even longer. And you got 3 minutes to start, you got to start compressions right away to get blood flowing in the body, which you can keep on doing. I mean, even if you can't find AED, get on your knees and start doing the chest compressions like Rookie said to, you know, staying alive or the Darth Vader deal or... you know, that shark song or whatever the heck it is, but just start doing it because that will help keep the blood flowing to the brain and hopefully, you know, keep that person alive and in good condition.
If you've never used a defibrillator, they are so easy to use. It's just bam, bam, bam. The instructions are right there. They tell you exactly what to do. And it is smart to take a quick training course. We had to take it for the airport, and I was intimidated by those. But now it's just you open it, it gives you instructions, and you zap them.
Yep. That's what brought all this on. I was surprised at how easy they are. And I just want to reassure Joe, if this in fact happens, you don't have to put your mouth on my mouth. So don't worry about that.
I would not do that.
Those days are over. Yeah. Yeah. And didn't one of these devices save a life recently in a high school, Mike?
Well, not at a high school. I mean, I'm sure it has, but the most recent story was up at Anoka hockey rink.
That's right, hockey. Yeah,
arrest and Joe, you remember Brad Maxwell?
I do.
Former North Star player.
I do.
Who unfortunately passed away last fall from cancer.
Right.
He and his fellow NHL alumni, they raised money to put AEDs in hockey arenas, and that NHL alumni group place the AED that saved that person's life a couple of weeks ago. So
wonderful.
You know, tip of the cap to Steve Payne and Jack Carlson and Brad Maxwell and the other NHL alum and all the people that donated money because that saved a life.
Wonderful.
So if you're a brand new GLer and you're wondering, well, what the hell does this have to do with Schoonover Body Works? Mike also runs an organization called playforpatrick.org. Go to that website and you'll see everything explained, and you can get in on some of these screenings that Play for Patrick does around our area throughout the year. Meanwhile, if you need any kind of body work or, you know what, anything at all done to your car, you got to go to the official body shop of GL, Schoonover Body Works and Auto Care. One of the best shops in the metro. They're on the web, schoonoverbodyworks.com. Thank you, Michael. Appreciate it.
You're welcome, fellas. Have a great day.
Mike, I'm going to call you later.
Sounds good, Joe.
All right. Thank you. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, guys.
Not enough is said about his shop. Have you seen the new shop?
Yeah. It's, as a shop rat, you can't get me out of there once I'm in there.
I was in there when I was getting some tires.
Yeah.
And I got lost.
Yeah.
It's great.
I mean, I started wandering, and I didn't know where I was.
You know, you go into a place like that, and you always think it's going to be oil, greasy. The walls are white.
Well, it will be. Give it a chance. Okay. But right now, it's brand new.
Well, with all the business he does.
The other day, I you know, I might have stumbled onto something, or more accurately, listeners might have directed me to this realization. I was telling you that every time I get the shaming letter from XL,
I always
trail my neighbors. I'm always in the penalty box. And that, I admit, that bothers me. Not urgently, but it bothers me because I spend a lot of time turning off lights. I'm an expert at turning off lights. Well, get this. Here's Doug writing, I heard you talking about your recent letter of shame from XL and how once again you exceeded your energy use compared to your neighbors. Shame on you, and don't you feel humiliated. I got my most recent letter of shame, and I too need to hang my head in complete humiliation. Exceeded my neighbor's electricity and gas usage again. Ironically, the month they calculated was December, and we weren't even home. We spend our winters in Orange Beach, Alabama. We turn our furnace down to 60, water heater is turned to low, and no lights are on for 3 months. Not sure what my neighbors are doing to reach the goals set forth by XL. Methinks XL sends a letter of shame to all their customers. By the way, my bill for December was pretty low with the warm weather, so I was happy with what I owed, considerably lower than when we were at home. Well, what the hell? Okay. And Doug, I mean, that's Doug Scott Mature out in Montana writes, Mayor, maybe some relief for you. Those shame letters are essentially ass statistics. I am close with all but two neighbors on my block and have several friends in my neighborhood. Everyone's bill looks the same. In other words, everyone shows we are using higher than all of our neighbors. The graphs all look the same. What the hell are they doing to me? I've been needlessly feeling humiliated.
You're getting a form letter, you and all the neighbors. I'm
going to ask a couple of the neighbors about their shame letters and show them mine. I bet we have the same shaming letter. There's something else I don't get.
Go. While we're at it.
Exactly.
Thank you.
While we're at it. They're in the business. I think of this at Halloween when dentists keep advising kids not to eat candy.
Yeah.
What the hell? You're in the dental business.
Right. That's job security.
I mean, it's nice of you, but... Yeah.
You brought something up I wanted to bring up. Go ahead.
So now XL, they're in the business of selling me electricity.
They want every light on in the house.
Why are they telling me to turn them off?
Yeah, I don't get it.
What's in it for them?
Shouldn't they... They're doing the opposite of what they should be doing. They should be sending you a thank you note that says, thank you for your patronage. We appreciate your business.
Boy, were you high this month, you sap, and we appreciate
thank
it.
You.
Stop spending so much money, you
from
jackass.
Costa Rica. We're in Costa Rica now.
Yeah, I'm not even home. That's amazing. That really opens my eyes. Both Doug and Scott have opened my eyes. Now I'm going to do an experiment in the neighborhood. I want to take my shaming letter around the block and knock on every door and say, can I see your shaming letter?
Or just jot down the figure that you're at or whatever, and then just ask them, are you over or under? This is the over-under. Where are you?
No, I'm bringing the whole graph, the colored graph that shows me.
Clipboard.
Yeah, I got the whole thing going.
Pencil, and visor.
I want to know what the hell's going on here. Because I'm tired of running around turning off lights. Holy mackerel. And I haven't even had the garage has a nice gas heater. But that's hardly been on this year.
There's been no need to.
Well, it stays warm enough in there without having to turn it on.
And this is the year to use up natural gas because prices are down.
Not according to my shaming letter. Now, we mentioned the mayor before and how the mayor might be encouraging some people to maybe pick up and load the truck and head to Sioux Falls. the mayor apparently met yesterday with the Minneapolis Downtown Council. They held their annual meeting. I believe it was at the convention center. It was a big round stage. He was speaking in the round, and he took a swipe at remote work while touting the benefits of downtown Minneapolis. He was, while proselytizing the benefits of visiting downtown, he set his sights on remote work, saying it ultimately turns you into a loser. Okay. Since the pandemic, many office spaces in downtown Minneapolis have sat empty due to the corporate shift to remote work. That, in turn, has had a negative ripple impact on the downtown economy. And Wednesday, Mayor Fry was urging people, it says folks here. I hate the use of the word folks so much.
Folks?
Folks. We're people. I don't know. It bothers me.
Well, at least they're not guests.
It's what every Democrat politician uses is folks.
Folks.
Yeah, it drives me nuts.
Folks. Never considered it. You're insane, but go ahead. Yeah,
I always actually liked it, but you know.
Yeah. Folks and fellas.
It seems rural.
Fellas and folks.
It seems rural.
Right now, crime downtown is down, argued Fry. That is something you can talk about not just at your tables, but also when you're talking to someone when you're over in the North Loop or out in the suburbs. That is part of what creates the right perception. Okay, little guy. I don't know what the hell you're talking about here.
You're all losers.
Fry and other leaders made a spirited plea to get people back downtown. Come experience the greatness of downtown, said the mayor. Come back to work. Oh, I'm having deep thoughts. Mm. I'm having deep thoughts. Moving to remote work, Mayor Fry joked about the downside of spending too much time at home. I don't know if you saw this study the other day. What this study clearly showed is that when people who have the ability to come downtown but don't, when they stay at home, sitting on their couch with their nasty cat blanket, fiddling on their laptop, if they do that for a few months, you become a loser. It's a study. We're not losers, are we?
It's a study.
It's an actual study.
Somebody studied this. Fray's remarks were met with laughs. When Fox 9 asked for information about the referenced study, well, a reporter asked the question. That's good. A spokesperson for the mayor further clarified that Fry was joking and the study wasn't real. Uh-huh. We're winners. We're resilient. We're tough. We're strong. We're innovative, the mayor concluded. He was leading a pep rally. We rise to the challenge. We get knocked down seven times and we get back up eight. That is who we are as a city. The council reports that 65% of the downtown workforce has come back in some capacity on a weekly basis, with Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday leading the way. I have deep thoughts. I have deep thoughts about downtowns. Downtowns, the closer you get to the country's tallest buildings, will never be the same. They'll never be the same. And the pandemic is only partly the reason. They'll never be the same again for a variety of reasons. People do work from home. Businesses have moved out. The nature of work has changed. Much can be done via Zoom and computer linking and what have you. But really, also, the deep thinking part is that the downtowns are no longer the center of anything. They're not the center of our lifeblood. I mean, I'm old enough to know when I was a kid, everybody's dad worked. In fact, that was my answer to people when they said, "What does your dad do?" He works downtown. Yeah. I didn't know what the hell he did till later. He works downtown. Everybody's dad worked downtown. You had a rush hour.
There was constant bustling.
And it was a bustle downtown. And what it's been replaced. It's been replaced with different sensibilities. It's been replaced by the remote work. It's been replaced by people moving. It's been replaced by safety concerns. It's been replaced by crime. It's been replaced by the conventional and traditional community celebrations that towns once had, either don't exist anymore or are a shadow of their former selves. And they, in fact, have been getting replaced by traditions and festivals and what have you that are geared to only very specific populations. Mm-hmm. You know, Gay Pride Day and Hmong New Year, and fine. But they're limited in their scope, and they're addressing only certain groups. So when Fry gets up in the round and does his shtick to get people to move back downtown, he's not taking into account all of the reasons that whole environment has changed. It's just changed.
I wish he could have talked to a couple of people, like, say, this morning. Let's just talk about this morning's commute. Mm-hmm. Stop and go, northbound 35W, 46th Street into downtown.
Mm-hmm.
Southbound 35W, slow and go from the Roseville split, Highway 36, all the way into downtown.
Mm-hmm.
Both directions of 394, nothing but bumpers and brake lights as far as you can see, from the window to the wall between 100 and downtown Minneapolis. Eastbound 94, westbound 94, both of them jammed up through the Lowry Hill Tunnel. I'd like him to talk to some of those people.
But why then is not downtown bustling?
I don't believe the little lad. I don't believe him.
Oh, you believe people are working downtown?
I do.
Based on traffic patterns.
And he's going to insult me because my commute is 100 yards long. Yeah. I've got a couch over that shoulder. I've got a bathroom and a kitchen over there.
Well, Target just fell off the... They were used to be the number one employer of people downtown. They just got knocked off by... I forget who. But they're
And that's another thing. Did he address crime rates either dropping or going down? Did he address the rising crime rates on the public transportation? Bet he didn't.
Now, was he joking or not joking when he said working at home turns you into a loser?
You know what? I love the stinky cat blanket line, and I wish I would have thought of that myself. And yeah, obviously he was joking, but, you know.
But he ain't funny.
It's not doing him any favors.
Well, that was my take. He's just not funny. He's just a white shoe lawyer about 4 feet tall, and he's trying to run a city. And he's
trying to grow a porn stash, failing miserably.
That's right, a stash.
See where the council vetoed his veto? Or overrode?
Yeah, I did. And did you see what's going on over in St. Paul in that regard?
Yeah, we've got activists who attend city council meetings worried about a ceasefire in Israel.
But what I can't believe is your activist council is saying, nah, I don't think so. Mm-hmm. We're not going to talk about that. That was surprising to me.
We live in strange times.
We really do.
We really live in strange times, and I predict the mayor will not suffer a lot of feedback based on this BS that he was saying. That's his job, is to get people downtown. And, you know, I got to say, if you're sitting at home on a couch with a cat blanket.
A smelly, smelly cat blanket.
And you're wearing your pajamas.
Stinky.
You aren't a winner.
I think
I don't know if you're a loser, but you're not a winner.
This is the first time this week that I've really, really missed Reavers, because this topic is so triggering for him. Yeah. All we have to do is sit back and let him bitch for about 10 minutes.
He will be outraged.
Yes. He would have been so angry at this one.
For sure.
Well, I work downtown. I can tell you.
It's just the whole
thing. Well, your commute this morning was an hour and a half.
Nobody asked you to live in Iowa, pal. You know, right. There's homes for sale in the Twin Cities.
Now we're arguing with Chris, and he's not even here.
Can't even defend himself.
Let's go take a break and come back with Johnny.
Excellent, because I want to talk to you business owners about Zero Res. Protect your employees and your customers by getting your business Zero Resified by the pros at Zero Res. Call today for your commercial cleaning estimate. For those of you who are homeowners, your carpet needs to be done as well. And it's February. This is the month of love. And I'm sure you don't really love your carpet, maybe just a strong like. But Zero Res is going to spread the love to you with your home with their Love Your Rug special. Zero Res has got over 17,000 Google reviews, 4.9 rating. That's huge. And right now, you can get 3 rooms Zero Resified starting at just $119 and a free hallway. Now, your air ducts. This month takes $75 off when you get your air ducts Zero Res clean. Call them. Easy number to remember, 952-ZERO-RES, or go online to ZeroResMinnesota.com and say you want the rookie Love Your Rug special. Again, 9520-RES or online at zeroresminnesota.com and ask for the rookie Love Your Rug special. Tell them I sent you, won't you? Zero Res.
Give yourself the gift of new water this Valentine's season. Nothing says love like good, clean water. It's Reavers here once again for my friends at Hofferman Water and Kinetico. I made the switch years ago, mostly because my wife was getting sick of our water in our home. And I'm glad she talked me into it. And it's been a great relationship with Hofferman and Kinetico for these years. I've had them installed in two different homes that I've had recently. I'm going to tell you right now, you get on that schedule, you have them come out for that free water analysis, you're going to be amazed at the difference in the quality of your water. You get that new system from Kinetico and Hofferman, your showers are better. Trust me when I say that. So is your laundry. So is your cooking. Everything. Every single aspect of your home can be affected by bad water. So get the best. HoffermanWater.com. Get on that schedule today. 952-894-4040. Or like I said, visit HoffermanWater.com. You go online. You can see every single system that they have to offer, whether it's a brand new water softener, an iron rust or odor filtration system, or a brand new drinking water system. We use it every single day in my home. I know you'll be happy if you decide to make the switch. Hofferman Water has been proudly serving the state of Minnesota for over 50 years. Please do me a favor and let them know that you heard about them here on the Garage Logic Podcast.
It's the end of the world as we know it, and he feels fine. Joe Souchere.
It's almost like there's too much miracle in each can of Seafoam. Rarely can one product make such a vital difference in so many different kind of engines, from big, giant diesel motors to little two-stroke string trimmers, lawn mowers, motorbikes, snow machines. It cleans and lubricates. It really helps your vital, critical engine parts. It stabilizes fuel. It preserves ignition vapors. That means simply your car starts a lot better. And it doesn't matter, car, dump truck, put in a gulp on the regular or put in a can every 6 months. It really works. The benefits of Seafoam's preventive maintenance makes a big difference on your pocketbook too. You're spending a lot less at the mechanic. A real vital difference in the performance of all of our cylinders. You can find the stuff everywhere fine automotive chemicals are sold. Truly a wonderful product. In a world of bad gas, it's Seafoam, and it's John Hite with the news.
Well, thank you very much, Keddy. This news is brought to you by North American Banking Company. Investigators continue to work on finding the cause of that fire that leveled the historic Lutzen Lodge after flames tore through the structure early Tuesday morning on the shores of Lake Superior. The Department of Public Safety State Fire Marshal released details yesterday on the most recent Lutzen Lodge inspection that happened last summer. That inspection, which happened July 6th, 2023, reportedly found 7 violations, 4 of which were repaired by the owner before the fire broke out. Officials say it's too early in the investigation to figure out if the 3 outstanding violations played any role in the fire. There were no guests at the lodge at the time of the fire, according to officials.
I got to jump in. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but this is really bothering me. Was there nobody in the lodge because it was closed? And they were staying at maybe the outer cabins? That has not been addressed. That's a miracle that nobody was staying in the lodge.
I have nothing to say.
Okay. But isn't that, don't you find that peculiar?
I find it, I'm grateful.
Yeah, I'm grateful. I'm
extremely peculiar, Matthew.
Extremely. Oh,
thank you.
It's terribly convenient.
Convenient, that's the word there.
Yeah. Okay.
The flames destroyed the lodge, burning it down to the foundation, only the old chimney standing. The resort complex has been in the North Shore community since the late 1880s, with the lodge that burned down being built several decades later. Meanwhile, the owner, Bryce Campbell, in an email to the Star Tribune, denied speculation that he said he saw on social media and among some of the cabin owners that he had anything to do with starting the fire. Campbell has been dogged by allegations in an escalating number of lawsuits for failing to meet financial obligations. He acknowledged yesterday he owes about $150,000 to several people who own cabins and condominiums near the lodge that he managed for rental. Some have sued Campbell, alleging he withheld proceeds from the rentals for many months. a settlement between the state of Minnesota and insulin maker Eli Lilly. That announcement yesterday from Attorney General Keith Ellison, as well as Nicole Smith Holt, whose son, Alex Smith, died back in 2017 after he was forced to ration his insulin because of high costs. For the next 5 years in Minnesota, insulin from Eli Lilly will be capped at $35 per month with or without insurance. Also, as part of the settlement, Eli Lilly will donate free insulin to 15 clinics across Minnesota for 5 years. In 2018, Minnesota was among several states to file a lawsuit against three pharmaceutical companies for overcharging for insulin. In honor of Nicole's son, the Alex Smith Insulin Affordability Act was drafted and passed in the state in 2020. It caps a one-month insulin supply for a copay of $35. There's also a long-term program for a 90-day supply for $50. Although lawmakers say the legislation helps hundreds in the state, not everyone has been supportive of it. The three drug companies filed lawsuits against Minnesota, calling Alex's act a violation of the Constitution, alleging the state is taking property from drug companies without paying for it. The Minnesota Department of Health estimates about 160,000 Minnesotans rely on insulin, which is why Minnesota joined the 2018 lawsuit against the major insulin makers.
It sounds like a good thing. And yeah. I don't know a great deal about it, but if insulin's going to keep you alive and you can't afford $400 a month and you die, well, isn't this a good thing?
Yes. And you put it that way, yes.
I don't know a great deal about how it works.
A student at Minnetonka High School was brought to the hospital Tuesday after being stabbed with an art tool during a fight.
Like a paintbrush?
A ruler,
a
pencil,
something that you use for sculpting, don't you think?
Maybe a little scalpel. Yeah.
A police report from the Minnetonka Police Department showed officers responded to the report of a stabbing inside the school just before 2 p.m. I'm not laughing at the story. I'm laughing because when I looked up, all of us were doing this.
Yes,
I
was talking about go away.
Slashing,
a roll of tape. Well, I don't know what in art class you would have had.
The report stated a student was stabbed by another student. The extent of the student's injuries and the weapon the suspect used are unknown at this time. A release from the principal of Minnetonka High School, Jeff Erickson, said the incident happened during period 6 of the day. Erickson added the incident was an isolated situation, only involved the two students. School staffers intervened immediately while others stayed in the classroom to support students for the rest of the period. The investigation into the incident is continuing. Now,
is this just a couple of kids horsing around?
We don't know.
Grab ass. Was this the kind of stabbing that doesn't even require stitches, or were there 20 stitches involved here? Were there internal stitches? Was this something that a little super glue and duct tape could take care of? I need some answers.
Well, it's a school, so you're not going to get any.
Yeah, they won't tell you anything.
Yeah.
Story you talked about, Joe, Mayor Jacob Frey of Minneapolis getting some backlash on social media for insinuating that people who continue to only work from home are losers.
Well, that'd be you and Kenny.
We should call Chris to see what he has to say on this.
Well, no, he doesn't work at home, but you two do.
Yeah.
With your stinky cat blanket and your pajama bottoms.
He can go straight to.
I'm not wearing bottoms. You want to see?
No.
Well, I'm wearing sweatpants.
Whatever.
Fourth day this week so far.
You and your Zubas.
Zubas. Joe told us, it happened during a downtown council's annual meeting in Minneapolis.
Because it's 1990.
Yeah.
Frey referenced a study he had seen online. In the aftermath of the criticism, though, he says he was only joking. Frey says the city is resilient and strong and would be even stronger with more people coming to the office. The Minneapolis Downtown Council meeting touted the city's accomplishments at the Armory yesterday. It included data on attendance for events, new business openings, restaurant news, and more. According to council data, 65% of downtown employees come to the office in some capacity each week, with Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays being the most popular in-office
days. This guy's a loser.
In my defense,
I'm sitting in his headquarters.
I don't think anybody there at corporate wants me back. I'm pretty sure.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
You know, I'm doing fine without you here. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like this. I like seeing you on TV, but that's pretty much
Yeah.
And it makes, like, tomorrow be very festive because I don't get to see you guys much. So it'll be
no, fun thank you for coming, John. Kenny had something come up.
You know, a family emergency right. situation. Ironically, I will be in Minneapolis.
Will you require ESST? That's the paid time off, Bill. New thing they got. Family emergency is the key gotcha. Phrase these days.
Oh.
Gotcha.
Do birthday parties count?
I'm going to take a short break here. We'll come back with some national, international news right after we hear from
The Rook. Key. Yes, Minnesota Masonic Charities has got a great scholarship program, and they are telling everybody about it. And if you want to learn more about it, you go to the website, mnmasoniccharities.org, and you will learn about the Selfless Scholar Scholarship. The deadline is February 29th. But this scholarship is so unique because it's not you nominate yourself. You're nominating somebody else, and they're going to split the pot with the winners between who was nominated and the nominator. Are you confused? That's why they have instructions on the website. Don't let me tell you all about it. Learn yourself. MNMasonicCharities.org. They have a whole bunch of $5,000 scholarships available. Plus, there's other programs as well. So learn about those. But you can only do it from the website, MNMasonicCharities.org. They are great people. There's no middleman there. There's no government stuff. It's just Minnesota Masonic Charities people helping the young people. It's a great program, so mnmasoniccharities.org. Click on the scholarship button, and you will be informed. Wonderful, wonderful program, mnmasoniccharities.org.
North American Banking Company. It's banking done differently, and it's Reavers. I decided to make the switch, about a year ago now. And I think you should give them a shot because, listen, they've been around since 1998. And when they first opened back then, they made a promise to deliver a better banking experience for their customers where you know your banker and they know you. And while a lot has changed since then, this commitment to being a true community bank in the Twin Cities, well, that has not. Listen, they have 6 locations to serve you. Mine's in Roseville, but you can also see them at 50th and France, Hastings, Woodbury, Shoreview, and their new location in Maple Grove. They offer the same online and mobile banking options as the other banks, but with the unparalleled service of a community bank. And they are also locally owned and operated. Here's why that's a big deal. That means loan decisions are made right here in the Twin Cities. They don't send these out of state. So this helps business owners solve problems quickly and expand their business with confidence. They understand there's no shortage of banking options here in the Twin Cities. So if you're tired of just being a number to your big national bank, like I was, then be sure to check out my friends at North American Banking Company. It's banking done differently. Check them out online today, nabankco.com. That's nabankco.com to learn more. North American Banking Company member FDIC is an equal housing lender.
The earth is not your mother. The Joe Soucheray Show.
Warranties have been the focus of my attention this week with Maple Grove Lock and Safe. It's the third of 3 constants. Number one, there's always a sale. Number two, you always have to mention you're a GLer to get a little something extra from Rich, the owner. That includes 15% off all quick combination and key vaults. These are the small ones that you can keep right next to your bedside, and they're easy and quick to get into if the situation is needed. But this warranty, amazing warranty from Liberty Safes, a 5-year lock warranty with additional extended warranty options available. Plus, the bodies, the safe bodies, come with transferable lifetime warranties. Now, that means if a few years down the road you're going to upgrade, you use that as a selling point. That's amazing. A warranty in place there for the life of the safe. But really what sets them apart is an event of a fire or an attempted break-in. The warranty includes repairs for your damaged safe, replacing the safe if it's too damaged to be repaired, shipping costs to send that new safe out, even additional installation costs are covered. Liberty will pay to have your old safe removed so you don't have to deal with it. That's pretty amazing. It's amazing sales and service from Liberty Safes. And our guy Rich at Maple Grove Lock and Safe, he makes it a whole lot better. Stop in, meet and greet Rich, 6901 East Fish Lake Road. And, of course, every day, all day, on the web, maplegrovelockandsafe.com.
John, I was sent a picture March 2nd, 1938, of cars trying to get through the streets of Los Angeles, and the water is up to their running boards. So rain events in Southern California are not unusual.
The Supreme Court this morning hearing oral arguments over whether former President Trump is ineligible to be president again and can be kept off the ballot. At the heart of the case, a provision in the 14th Amendment preventing those who, quote, engaged in insurrection from holding office. That amendment was put into effect after the Civil War to prevent Confederate leaders from holding public office.
Can I add something about what you just said, Joe?
You may.
That also includes the nesting grounds for monarch butterflies.
What does?
The climate. This is not the first time that the nesting grounds have dried up and made it impossible for monarch butterflies to multiply.
No, and so, they seem to recover that.
They seem to recover, and it's not the first time in history. So just, you know, arm yourself with the facts before you go into full-blown panic and start sobbing on the floor.
Right.
In Ukraine, Russia, with missile and drone strikes on Kyiv and other Ukrainian cities during Wednesday morning's rush hour, killed 5 people, wounded more than 30, and damaged residential buildings and energy infrastructure. 4 people killed when debris from a missile hit an 18-story residential building in Golosievskiy, in that district in the southwest of Kyiv, causing a fire and smashing windows. 1 person killed in Mykolaiv in the south.
What are your views, John, everybody? What do you make of Tucker Carlson?
That's my next story.
Oh, go ahead then, and then I'll ask my question.
Okay, speaking of Russia, former Fox News host Tucker Carlson set to release that controversial interview with Russian President Putin tonight. He announced the sit-down interview, which has already been recorded, would be broadcast at 5 o'clock our time. Carlson traveled to Moscow for Putin's first interview with a Western media figure since Russia's invasion of Ukraine began in 2022. Carlson, who's heaped praise on Putin and Russia for the past several years, claimed not a single Western journalist had bothered to interview the Russian president. However, the Kremlin slapped down that claim and said Carlson was not correct, as Putin had received numerous requests for interviews, which are denied because Western media, he says, Putin that is, are too one-sided. Critics point out Carlson's access to Putin is in stark contrast to 2 other reporters, both U.S. citizens, Wall Street Journal reporter Evan Gershkovich and Radio Free Europe's Alsu Kromashev. Both are in prison right now in Russia on charges related to their reporting work.
Here's my question. Did Carlson take the interview because it's quite a coup to get that interview? Or does he actually place some moral equivalence with Putin that should not be there? In other words, let me rephrase it.
No, that was a good question. The way it stands.
But if then, Anderson Cooper got an interview with Putin, would he have done it? I would suggest yes, because it's a coup to say, hey, I'm going to interview this moron in Russia. Did Carlson get the gig because Putin senses that he's a lapdog?
I can't answer to why his interview request was granted, but it's certainly easy to tell you why he requested an interview.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's trying to start this new Tucker channel on Twitter, and it's all about business.
I think it'll be interesting to see how it's edited, if it is edited, if they run the full interview, however they handle. Because in the past, he's shown... Remember his comment when the Ukraine-Russia war started? Mm-hmm. Why aren't we on Russia's side?
Russia started that war.
Yeah, well,
almost Carlson's, 2 years ago, coming up on a 2-year date.
And Carlson's always been on the Putin/Russia side of the war.
Well, I that's the part I don't understand.
Yeah. Which kind of leads you to believe that's why he was granted access.
Right, exactly. Well, that's kind of what Putin said, or that, you know, they wouldn't grant interviews to other people because they felt they were one-sided against them.
Well, like you said, the two people that have interviewed him are in prison, right?
What if I got a call that said, you have been chosen. You can go and interview Putin if you want to.
We wouldn't let you go.
Well, I don't think
we need to work.
What is there to learn?
Something came up.
What is there to learn? I don't place any human moral or ethical integrity in Putin. What would I be going to do?
What could you trust that he is going to say?
Right. And when I listen, when I listen to Tucker's deal, I don't want to. I don't want to spend my time doing that, but I probably should. What the hell the interpreter's saying?
Yet.
Yeah.
His interview. Show.
It will be okay.
His interview with Brett was really good.
Whose interview?
Tucker's with Brett Weinstein.
Oh.
It was really good.
I know we differ a bit on Brett, all of us. I do with you guys anyway.
Yeah. That's all right.
I think he does a really good job at promoting himself. And I think that's what he needs to do now, I'm not saying don't do it.
Oh, yeah. There's so many different avenues where they're making money on their public speaking.
That we're not promoting us enough.
Yeah.
you might. I can't. Yeah, I agree.
Do you want to talk to Tucker, Joe?
What was the gist of the Tucker-Brett Weinstein conversation?
It was about that Darien gap.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, fascinating. Did you happen to see Hillary's remarks on Tucker's interview?
Yes, with Putin? He's a useful idiot.
Yeah, and I'd just like to thank Hillary for giving us Trump. Thanks, Hillary.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure people yell at me for this, but I can't disagree with her on that comment.
I can disagree with it. If she agrees with something I say, I'm changing my opinion. Yeah, I just a burning loathing that goes deep, deep to my core.
Have you seen a doctor? No.
Numerous.
I hope it just runs. And I like Joe. Boy, I don't want to, but I probably should.
John, I'm going to assign you to do it.
Oh, you bastard.
I've got a lot to do. You have to listen to it, John.
I'm very busy, Joe.
No, you're not.
Something's about to come up.
I got to work on a couple songs.
Yeah, something will come up.
Something's about to come up.
You just have to. Birthday party.
You have to just approach it like it's propaganda.
Is that tonight at 6 o'clock it's going to be released?
Yeah, 5 o'clock our time, apparently.
Is he out of the country yet? I don't want to see the guy thrown in a gulag.
I was wondering about that, too. Did he come back, I hope, and edit it instead of staying there?
There's two journalists in jail over there.
I know.
Do anything about that?
That's why I say agree or disagree. Yeah. Let's get him out of there first.
See, that's a good, right there, how the interview goes. Will he ask him about them?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You got a Wall Street Journal guy, Daniel Orszewska, or whatever his name is.
Gershowitz.
And you got another guy. Yeah. Did you do anything to get him out, Tucker? Dennis Rodman, he's done more for international.
Wasn't he a North Korea friend?
He's North Korea's buddy.
Yeah.
And will he ask about Navalny and people like that, Russian dissident who's in jail? Well, if he does that, great. And he gets straight answers. He won't get a straight answer.
Putin kills his opposition, Tucker. Yeah,
you think he asked him about the warlord? His airplane went down? Remember that guy?
Yeah.
About a year ago?
You know what? I'll listen to it. I'll listen to it.
And Putin, remember, is a trained, highly regarded KGB agent. That's what he did. That's what he did before he was president. So, we have a death that makes me very sad. Very sad. Mojo Nixon. Psychobilly musician and great host on SiriusXM's Outlaw Country.
Oh.
He died. Get how he died. He was on the Outlaw cruise, the SiriusXM Outlaw Country cruise, performed on Tuesday night, partied all night with people on the ship, went to bed and didn't wake up.
How old?
He was 66.
Wow.
So he led a hard life.
He was a well-known partier, drinker, and he had this thing going where his
whole,
John, his buddy, Country Dick Montana, died on stage in Canada from the Beet Farmers.
Yeah.
They were fast and tight.
They did put a band together with Dave Elvin, the Vegas something or the other. I have the CD. It's hysterical. Really fun. Anyway, Mojo Nixon died, and the statement from the family, he must have a family who also kind of had his attitude about life. It said he died after a blazing show, a raging night, closing down the bar and taking no prisoners. Nixon, musically best known for celebrity spoofs like Don Henley Must Die.
Did they bury him at sea?
Elvis Is Everywhere? No, he died.
You piped down. Pipe down,
in
Joe.
Puerto Rico. Elvis Is Everywhere was probably his most famous song.
Yep.
He had lots of other ones, all performed in Maximum Overdrive on a bed of rockabilly, blues, and R&B, which earned him a lot of friends in the roots rock community. Great show on Sirius XM. He was the afternoon drive guy on Sirius XM Outlaw Country. And the sounder they use for that station, which is Country.
Yeah.
That's Mojo.
Is that
That's
Mojo?
It's Mojo.
Mojo ain't rising.
No. Such, our guy, Scott Holter, is who's turned me on to Mojo in the early 90s. Mm-hmm. That's how I know about him.
Yeah. Mojo is 66.
Yeah.
So afternoons won't be the same on Outlaw Country.
All right. Thanks, John.
Uh-huh.
Unless you have more.
No, I got plenty more.
But any more musician deaths?
No, that's... No,
we've been
deaths.
Mentioning the golf show. It starts tomorrow at the Minneapolis Convention Center. Runs through Sunday. You can. It's a great event. I hope you took advantage of our earlier offer and got your tickets through the GL Connection. But we'll be there tomorrow from, I don't know, noonish to 1:30-ish.
Yeah, most of us anyway.
Yeah, and I have to leave time to get my buy golf gloves because. That's the best place to do it, man. They got great deals, great equipment sales. Yep. You can take lessons. You can putt with a chance to win $100,000. It's the golf show, and we're looking forward to it. We'll see you at the golf show tomorrow.
Not a Garage Logic town council member. Here's what you're missing.
Everybody's coming across as dead beat and tired. Let's shake it up here. Everybody falling asleep?
No.
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
I'm getting sick.
You are?
I think so. I feel really awful.
Yeah, I started.
No, I'm glad you're not in this room.
I started to go downhill Friday, and I just started feeling better this morning. Yesterday, I don't think I left my house.
No, I went to get orange juice.
Oh, you did?
Yep.
You left your house?
Yep, I did.
That means you left your house.
Is he here yet?
Who?
Pat.
I don't think so.
Or is it you that turned the light on?
Me.
That was Joe.
Are you ready?
No.
You.
Just a minute.
There he is.
Yo. What's up? Were the granddaughters happy?
Very.
We've got a Cindy when she came on the field after the game.
Oh, they were smooching. And...
Were there comments about her outfit?
I can't remember, Chris. I bet there were.
Her hair.
You know what? I bet there were.
Put her lipstick.
Yeah, she's always got the Cupid doll thing going.
Go behind the scenes of Garage Logic with unfiltered audio and video access, invites to exclusive events, an emailed newsletter from the mayor himself, and more by signing up at GarageLogic.com.
North American Banking Company. It's banking done differently, and it's Reavers. I decided to make the switch, about a year ago now, and I think you should give them a shot because, listen, they've been around since 1998, and when they first opened back then, they made a promise to deliver a better banking experience for their customers where you know your banker and they know you. And while a lot has changed since then, this commitment to being a true community bank in the Twin Cities, well, that has not. Listen, they have 6 locations to serve you. Mine's in Roseville, but you can also see them at 50th and France, Hastings, Woodbury, Shoreview, and their new location in Maple Grove. They offer the same online and mobile banking options as the other banks, but with the unparalleled service of a community bank. And they are also locally owned and operated. Here's why that's a big deal. That means loan decisions are made right here in the Twin Cities. They don't send these out of state. So this helps business owners solve problems quickly and expand their business with confidence. They understand there's no shortage of banking options here in the Twin Cities. So if you're tired of just being a number to your big national bank, like I was, then be sure to check out my friends at North American Banking Company. It's banking done differently. Check them out online today, nabankco.com. That's nabankco.com to learn more. North American Banking Company member FDIC is an equal housing lender.
This guy wears many hats, just not indoors. Joe Soucheray.
Under the department of a great point being made. It's Don Heidemann from Iowa. You guys have seen the mother of the Detroit school shooter, Ethan Crumbley. The mother, Jennifer Crumbley, has been found guilty of 4 counts of murder. She's sharing responsibility for the behavior of her kid, right?
Mm-hmm.
Have you, anybody, staff, anyone, is anyone aware of the story?
Yes. Yep.
All right. Yep. And then the father is also coming to trial, and presumably he'll be found guilty. And so the entire family will be in jail. Joe, I'm not sure if you saw the news regarding Jennifer Crumbley. Well, of course I did. Ethan Crumbley pled guilty to 4 counts of murder for the school shooting north of Detroit. And now his mother, Jennifer, has been convicted of manslaughter. His father is coming to trial soon on similar charges. I think I can look at this 2 ways, either as a ray of hope or as another example of different rules and laws for different people. From a ray of hope standpoint, this is a clear acknowledgement that parenting is an important job that every mother and father needs to take seriously. The level of love, effort, and care has a direct impact on many aspects of the child's life, from personal responsibility to education to how they treat authority figures, meaning law enforcement, to how they treat people in everyday interactions. Part of me says if you shirk your responsibilities as a parent, you should bear some of the consequences. I would say, speaking for myself, that not a part of me says that. All of me says that. On the other side of the coin, I could highlight that this is simply another example of treating minorities as less than. When was the last time you saw an absent father of a young inner-city youth that has been convicted of a horrible crime be brought up on manslaughter charges or be held in any way responsible for not providing the time and effort to raise a well-brought-up citizen? In far too many instances, the youth is not held responsible for their actions, let alone an absent parent. Is a youth shooting another youth on the street any less horrible than a youth shooting another youth in school? Personally, I find both cases to be despicable, but for some reason, society can either justify or simply ignore a gangbanger shooting. It's a distinction without a difference in my eyes. I do think parenting responsibilities are important and downplayed in far too many instances when youth go astray. Holding parents accountable for their inattention to their offspring is a discussion worth having, and I would appreciate hearing your thoughts on it. Don, I could not agree with you more. I have never seen a case where a parent of a gangbanger who killed a fellow rival on the street has ever gone to court. If good that's point. Happened, I don't know of it.
Good point.
The only thing I would wonder about there is it sounds like he wants the absent fathers to be held accountable, which I don't know how you'd do that. Wouldn't you have to hold a parent responsible who's in the house with that child?
Well, that sure puts the burden on the mother, but I think I could go and find the absent father. I think that's revelatory. I think that might turn around absent fathership. It
one can't, would hope.
It wouldn't hurt.
Yeah, one would hope, but
you're some kid on the street and you shoot another kid on the street, haul the parents in too. Never happens. And it had happened in the Detroit case, and I'm grateful that it did.
Well,
clearly these parents are culpable. Clearly they are.
Matthew has told us numerous stories about his teacher. I don't know how we describe her, but she deals with these little kids that are just foul and awful and just rotten human beings. And it obviously, all of it comes from their upbringing. Correct, Matt?
It's the environment. Yeah. There's no rules. And it really.
Right, and she's a teacher and sees this on a daily basis.
Right. Right. There's almost zero involvement. And it's sad.
But maybe there would become a new emphasis on involvement if you thought you were going to be found guilty.
That's locks are for law-abiding citizens. That's one of those deals. I don't see that happening.
Well, you're poo-pooing it.
It's a great idea, and I love the idea. I just don't see it making a difference.
Well, given the likes of Mary Moriality, it'll never happen.
Right.
But it should happen is what I'm saying.
Certainly won't be enforced.
It should happen.
Do we need yet another law that won't be enforced?
No. Our friends at Renewal by Anderson bring you This Day in History. But get this. This first note is from Davin, who writes, your radio show was part of my day for years. Only recently discovered your podcast, Good as Ever. Heard your ad for window replacement by Anderson. We get flyer ads from them, but have been wary to check them out because we live by Little Falls and wonder if they have good installations way out here. Looking for some personal encouragement from a former radio hero of mine. Thanks, Davin. Absolutely. Do not hesitate to call Renewal by Anderson. And then listen to this from Tom Lyman of the Traveling Lymans, and we'll get to this day in history in a moment. A note and endorsement with Renewal by Anderson sponsoring this day in Minnesota history. We couldn't be prouder of having them do this. They've been in business since 1903. I'll help you with the math, 121 years. In our old life before traveling the world, our former home on Lake Minnewashta in Chanhassen had Anderson windows, two styles, prime gliding windows, manufactured from 1940 to 1971, and primed casement windows, manufactured 1932 to 1989. These windows worked wonderfully for many decades, trouble-free, and still in use with the present homeowner. Well, thank you from the Traveling Lymans. It's Renewal by Anderson.
Yeah. Nice. Sounds like somebody wants a taste.
Well, I don't think so. I don't think so at all, because they ain't getting one. if you need windows or doors replaced in your home, go with a company you can trust, like Renewal by Anderson, the best in the business. And that goes for you in Little Falls. They're now at featuring the Acclaim replacement windows. You just don't replace the windows. You upgrade your home and ways that improve everyday life. They're custom built to fit perfectly. Acclaim replacement windows are precision manufactured to within 1/16th inch of your opening for a weathertight fit without any drafts. And it's not just windows, it's patio doors and entry doors. Renewal by Anderson has the best products and the best service. Learn more at renewalbyanderson.com/garagelogic or call them 651-705-6931 and tell them Garage Logic sent you. And they do bring you This Day in Minnesota History from the Traveling Lymans, who are in Lake Las Vegas, Nevada. They're hobnobbing with the Super Bowl teams. This day,
February 8th, and I said that properly.
Yes, you did.
Thank you.
On this day in 1831, old Joe Wheelock was born in Bridgetown, Joseph A. Wheelock. He was born in Bridgetown, Nova Scotia. After moving to St. Paul in 1850, he became involved in the newspaper business and helped found the St. Paul Daily Press in 1861, serving as editor of its successor, the St. Paul Pioneer Press, for 30 years. He was also active in the development of St. Paul's parks and boulevards, and I'll bet you Wheelock Parkway was named in his honor.
And Wheelock Whitney, I bet.
It was. I don't know about Whitney.
Oh.
Old Joe Wheelock died in 1906. On this day,
February 8th,
in 1905, the Minnesota Federation of Colored Women's Clubs was organized in St. Paul. Popular at the turn of the century, women's clubs were reform and social welfare organizations. Here we get the feeling something was better at some point.
Yeah, I really do.
Did you? What's the date today?
Today's Feb 8.
I would just like to wish my son a happy 24th birthday.
Right. If we did that.
That's great.
He made it to 1:35 p.m. to remember.
Happy birthday, kiddo.
So if the birthday's today, we'll see you at the Gulf Shore tomorrow.
I've got something going on.
On this day,
8 de Février.
On 1916, representing the state of Minnesota, a statue of Trader, T-R-A-D-E-R, and Senator Henry M. Rice was unveiled in Statuary Hall in the nation's capital in Washington.
Didn't know that.
And finally, on this day.
This is the 8th of February.
That's right. On this day in 1933, two men robbed the Shenandoah Pharmacy on Chicago Avenue in Minneapolis. Police officers Carl A. Johnson and C.E. Bettinger shot 21-year-old Eddie Larson after he fired at them from behind a counter. Johnson wounded 19-year-old Fred Samler, who was rifling the cash register.
Ooh,
Larson died shortly after arriving at General Hospital, and Samler later admitted that he and Larson had committed several holdups earlier that evening.
If you use the term rifling, then you also use the word folks.
And you also use the word General Hospital.
Yes.
General Hospital.
Remember, there used to be just one of everything. There was the telephone company.
Ma Bell.
The electric company.
Yeah.
Ready Kilowatt.
Yep.
The General Hospital.
NSP.
Right. And I don't know. We had one school, maybe. I don't know.
Something like that. Yeah.
One school.
One school. Thank you, GLers. We'll see you tomorrow at the Minneapolis Convention Center for the golf show.
You are darn tootin', we will. And I can't wait to see all of you fine folks down there as I frantically search to find out which promo I'm supposed to read here. And it is promo sheet number 2. Let's flip to 2. Oh, this is town council membership. This is great. Full video, full show audio, including before, after, and during the garage. You're gonna eavesdrop on us. How do you do it? Well, it's one just a couple of the great perks of the town council membership. You'll even get your own official member card and a certificate from the mayor himself with invites to exclusive events. Learn more about the town council and become a member at garagelogic.com. And while you're there, visit the online store for great GL stuff.
We need an event. We need a town council event coming up this summer.
Let's do this. Yeah. Leroy Jenkins.
It is time once again to check in with our guy, Mr. Money Talk, Josh Arnold, who is on the line live with us. No better time than right now to pick up that phone and give Josh a call for your free 48-minute financial consultation by dialing 952-925-5608. The number again is 952-925-5608. You make the call and you get Josh, who always gives you straight talk without sugar-coated advice. And Josh, I know today we've got two big surprises, and believe it or not, Taylor Swift strikes again?
Taylor Swift, AJ, strikes again. You mention the name Taylor Swift and you get ratings points on any type of social media or streaming broadcast or linear broadcast. Taylor Swift, I'm going to mention that. We're going to get extra rating points just by saying the name Taylor Swift. She is an economic boom wherever she goes. Now, I know that Super Bowl weekend, and the Super Bowl is going to generate a lot of dollars to the Las Vegas economy. Heck, trying to get a room in some spots is over $9,000 a night. And that doesn't include getting tickets to get in to the venue. Taylor Swift, she'll probably be in one of the very expensive suites that are going for over $1 million a pop. So much so that Christian McCaffrey, the San Francisco star, his family cannot afford to go and stay in the suite. Too expensive. As Mrs. McCaffrey said, even Mr. Moneybags doesn't have the money to afford that. But Taylor Swift does. Now, when I keep bringing up Taylor Swift, I've talked about this before as it applies to several companies, including Live Entertainment, whose stock is yet to report earnings. They're coming up later this month. But Taylor Swift, well, her concert weekends generate Super Bowl-type revenue for the cities in which she shows up. And Taylor Swift's name comes among a big earnings surprise with Disney. Disney reported their earnings. They had a beat quarter. A big surprise. Now, a lot of the surprise was related to cost cuts more than anything else. They did increase their dividend for this July. They did emphasize continually cost cuts. And what made the stock jump first was, of course, the increased dividend. Second, They cut a $1.5 billion deal with Epic Games, the designer of Fortnite, to give them the opportunity to create names based on all of Disney's library. So that's everything from Pixar, Marvel, to Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck. That could be pretty interesting. They did lose streaming subscribers, but they increased the cost of that subscription. And they are doing a special on Taylor Swift. The stock is up. I do not know whether that's enough to scare away any of the activist investors around this, but do bear in mind that Disney is down significantly from a high that it hit well over 5 years ago when they started losing subscribers for ESPN. Speaking of ESPN, later this year, Disney, Fox, Warner Brothers Discovery are combining on a streaming sports network, name to be announced, price to be announced, to take advantage of all of their sports offering. Again, this could be very interesting, and sports still come around. And then there's Arm Holdings. This is a recent company coming back to the public markets from being a privately held. Arm Holdings is up, as we speak, about 60% from last night's close as they beat the numbers and guided up on the backs of designing AI. There's the other big thing. Just remember, want your stock to move? Mention Taylor Swift or artificial intelligence. Arm Holdings has moved up. There aren't a lot of shares available for the float. So their amount of shares, high demand, of course, is going to push those shares up. Do not be surprised if Arm shareholders, or excuse me, the company starts releasing more shares in the market, and that will be dilutive. Earnings season continues apace. There were not, you know, the two that stood out to me were Arm and Disney, but I'm still very happy with positions that I have. More earnings are coming out, and more companies are doing better than had been expected. Something to pay attention to.
Well, hey, thank you, Josh.
You are welcome, AJ. Just remember, when you place your bet on DraftKings this weekend, Taylor Swift, that's what you're betting on.
You heard him, GLers. What great information. And now is the time to pick up that phone and make that call for your free 48-minute financial consultation by dialing 952-925-5608. Once again, dialing 952-925-5608, where you will always get straight talk and you'll never get sugar-coated advice. Thanks again, Josh.
Investment services offered by Josh Arnold Investment Consultant, LLC, a security investment advisor. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. All investments involve risk. All comments and opinions are Josh Arnold's and do not constitute investment advice.
Chris Reavers is a paid endorser.